listening to WCNO Palm City.
Well, me and the doctor, right now I'm not being very nice to anybody because, again, I'm jonesing, I'm going crazy, I'm crawling out of my skin, I'm calling people names, I'm a real not nice guy. And the doctor comes over to me and pulls the curtain around and he looks at me and he says, I don't know why God would waste a miracle on a guy like you. And I looked at him and I said, what have you got to do with God? I said, I'm pretty pissed off at him, to be honest with you. Going back to my mother. That's exactly what I said to the doctor. This is how arrogant I was. He said, well, I can't believe where you got hit by that truck. I'm trying to figure out how you're able to walk right now. He goes, the only thing I can figure is because you had those screws and rods installed in your back and that protected your nerve because I got the cage around my nerve. And them words my mother said to me, God allows everything to happen for a reason, came rushing into my spirit. I got goosebumps when I think about this moment. It was the ultimate God moment. I didn't get a bolt of lightning and I didn't get a flash of light, but I can tell you, when that doctor opened that thing and said, all right, I'm going to get you your script. He goes, but you know you need to get help. He goes, because you and I both know you got a problem.
How did he know?
Because he could see the condition I was in. He wasn't stupid. I mean, he was a doctor in the ER. I'm sure they see drug addicts come in there all the time. You know what I'm saying? But he did know. He verified the police report from the accident a week prior. Because this is January the 13th. And by now it's the 14th. But anyways, I go to leave and I go out there. I'm looking for Nikki. She's gone. So I asked the lady at the back desk and she goes, oh, she left out of here hours ago. I go, really? Well, she had my cell phone with her because her phone had broke or didn't pay the bill, whatever. So I'm like, what am I going to do here? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So I go walk across the street to CVS on the corner of US 1 and Lingate. And I hobble across the street. Takes me 30, 40 minutes to get over there. And I go. I go in, try to get my, figure I'll get my Percocets, take the edge off. Well, I go in, give the pharmacist my script, and I realize why they made little windows for the pharmacist back then. Because when he said, Mr. Fakita, come to the back counter, and he said, oh, we're sold out of that. I don't know what to tell you. I was going to kill that pharmacist. I went, literally dropped my cane and went to reach through the window to rip this guy through. I scared him. I'm calling the police. I said, call whoever you want. I called the cab. I still had a few bucks. Call the cab, get a ride home.
He called the police, you called the cab.
Yeah, and the cab came first, so I went in the cab and left. You know what I'm saying? I didn't care. And I get to my house. My house is locked up like Fort Knox, Rhett. I had lost the key a long time ago. We don't lock the doors. If it meant $3 for a key versus I hit a crack or a little charboy for my pipe or a pack of Marlboro cigarettes, we didn't need no $3 key. Just leave the damn door open. There's nothing to steal. Everybody was scared of me. I was the thief in the neighborhood. So what would they, you know? So at the end of the day, I go and try to get in. The door's locked. Windows are shut. And I always left my stuff open. I wasn't one of the peepers. You know, they're out there. People smoke crack. They get all kind of schizophrenic, paranoid. I was not one of those guys. Some people are. A lot of people are. I'm not. I go to the neighbor, borrow a butter knife, go around back, come in the sliding door in the bedroom. You know, it's a sliding door. If you know anything about getting in a sliding glass door, get in faster with a butter knife than you can with a key. But just heads up. And I go in. Rhett, the bed is made. The floors are vacuumed. The dishes are clean. Now, remember, I told you, we were living. There was ashes all over the floor. It smelled like stale beer. It was just nasty. Gross. It's like a typical drug addict crack, only in a nice neighborhood. Gross. I'm like, Nikki, what are you doing? Where are you at? And I'm mad because she's left me at the hospital. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, you know? I go in and she's hanging dead in the closet.
Dead. Killed herself.
She took the stereo cord out of the stereo, I had a cassette player, pulled the stereo cord out, wrapped around her neck, tied it up, and literally knelt down and died. And she left me a note on a piece of yellow note paper, you know, we had a yellow notebook. It told me that I sold her soul to the devil and that she's going to save a place for me and her mother in hell. Her and her mother had a disagreement the day before. A very serious one. I called her cousins right away, and I said, do not let the kids come home. Nikki's dead. I said, I can't tell you more right now. Of course, I called 911. I took her down, she was already stiff. It was rough. And her mother came, started screaming. They handcuffed me to the railing outside, charging me with murder, by the way.
Why?
Well, because the first cop didn't know if I killed her, and you know what I'm saying. I mean, he was just making sure I didn't go running away, I guess. You know what I mean? The CSI came, the St. Lucie County, everything came, fire district. Now we got the whole condo association out there, you know what I mean? Probably 100 old ladies and in their robes and rollers. And
How did they figure out that she had committed suicide? Because you took her down, which you shouldn't have touched the body. Now they're going to think you got blood on your hands. You're the guy.
You're right. But I was trying to see if she was still alive. Can I save her, to be honest with you? And that was truly my intent.
You know that, but did they know that?
Well, they didn't know that. That's why they put me in handcuffs to start with.
Stuff out.
They do. They called the coroner over there. Medical examiner was over there. And then the head of the CSI went back to the hospital and to the pharmacy because I told them where I was and you know what my alibi was. And he goes, well, that pharmacist certainly had you pegged. He goes, you scared the hell out of that guy, that's for sure. He goes, but he made a good alibi for you. He goes, because he swore up and down. Because when I showed him a picture of you, you know, he took a picture of me on the phone and all that good stuff, took it back over there. Because when he came back after investigating everybody, the story I had told him, he came back and took me out of handcuffs right away. And he said, you need to go get some help, Stu. He goes, this stuff eats your brain up big time. Now, I want to make mention of one other thing quick, Rhett. In the tape deck was the song when she unplugged it from Metallica that says, I am evil. And it is a very demonic song. Most Metallica stuff after that album, things were not so demonic, but this is old school Metallica that I used to listen to. Demonic music. That's what was in the tape deck with play when she unplugged it to tie that around her neck. Fact. Because when I plugged it in,
it started.
And this feeling came over me like the ugliest thing I've ever felt in my life. 5 hours after the CSI left, I was back to 23rd Street and Avenue K in Fort Pierce buying crack cocaine again. No death, no craziness, nothing will stop addiction. Yeah, nothing until you're ready to turn it over to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's the bottom line. You are not going to beat
this. Let's get to that part. We got about 10 minutes left. Let's get to the part about Jesus.
We're getting there. So that happens. I get arrested 3 months later.
For what?
8 felonies, 3 misdemeanors, possession of cocaine, stealing a car.
What are the 8 felonies? Oh, that's all.
Possession of cocaine, stealing a car. And my lawyer, I got mad at my lawyer, my divorce lawyer. I went in and threw him against the wall, threw him on the ground, dragged him out of his office by his tie. And then I stole his highwaymen pictures, Al Black's pictures, no less, off the wall and told him, now I'll get my money back. Because he owed me money and he was jerking me around. And I said, today's the day you pay the piper.
Yeah.
And he goes, it doesn't work that way. I said, oh, yeah, well, you don't know who you got here, boy. I said, because I'm going to show you how things get done. And I went right around that thing and I grabbed this guy right by his throat and he didn't know what. He had never seen the likes of anything like that happen before. And I mean, I literally dragged him right out of his office. I said, I'll kill you right here, man. You know, I mean, I was crazy about it. And so I took the pictures. I said, look, I'll just take this artwork and we'll call it a day. I sold that artwork because it was some of the original stuff. I sold some guy down in Stewart for like 10 grand. Actually got $5,000 more than he owed me out of it. You know what I'm saying? So it's pretty good pictures, you know. But I get arrested, go to jail. That we could do a whole testimony on my jail. Bottom line is this. This is where I meet Pastor Al Pagosi. Plant a Seed Ministry, who's been up here, you know, Pastor Al, when we go to Kingsman Lunch, so on and so forth, Italian Stallion, you know. And I meet him there 21 years ago, and I meet Chaplain Dave 21 years ago, okay? This is where I meet these guys. This is where Jesus comes into my life.
And where was this?
900 Rock Road, St. Lucie County Jail.
Oh, you're at jail. That's
now I'm arrested.
Oh, so they're in there visiting you.
Yes, I'm facing 47 years in prison.
47 years.
47 years, and God sends what I want to call angels in a human form, being Chaplain Dave, being Pastor Al Pagosi. And I don't mean maybe, because these guys helped save my life, because I was in there. I was ready to kill myself in there. And I wasn't going to kill myself because I was going to do time. You know why I wanted to kill myself? Because I was spiritually bankrupt, Brett.
Yeah, yeah.
I realized when I got sober, I had to deal with my emotions, and I didn't want to. I was
Chaplain Dave's the real McCoy.
Oh, know? I know, but I was a bad father. I found my girlfriend dead, a dead son. All these things are going on in my head. Oh. So by the grace of God, I get told, and again, we can get into this. I'm, for the sake of time, moving forward. October the 5th, 2005, I go to Gary L. Sweet to get sentenced.
Yeah.
Prior to the sentencing, by 6 weeks, he wanted to do a PSI, pre-sentence investigation. I gave him my testimony up to that point, and he looked at me, and he took his glasses off like that. The judge, and he goes, somehow I believe you, but I find it hard to believe you've been through all this and you haven't been caught up in anything until now. Is that what you're telling me?
Caught up in anything.
Like arrested and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when I was in New York, when I got arrested, I had a number to call. I called the number, they let me out the door.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm getting
the cops were on the take.
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah, New York. So at the end of the day, I go inside with my public pretender, and I told him I didn't need him anymore. And
public pretender.
Yeah. And I told the judge what was going on, what had happened. When I went back, the district attorney quickly wanted to say he's a one-man crime wave. They came to me trying to cut deals. They dropped it from 47 to 25 to 15 down
I'm
to
surprised
7.
You didn't take it.
I was close. But Pastor Al, Bobby Leone, Bayshore Club guy, and Chaplain Dave said, trust in God, not man. And I took that to heart.
Oh, wow.
I took that to heart.
7 years.
Guess what? I had it down to 3, and I'd already had a year in. I'd have been out in 18 months or less.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
How can you measure up to deserve affection, to ever be enough for this existence? When did it get so hard? Your heart is beating, alive and breathing, and there's a reason why. You are essential, not accidental.
There's a purpose under the surface.